Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, if you're going to the mall this season, you cannot get in without passing by what? The bell ringers, right? Asking for a little change. You cannot get in without seeing them. If you're going to travel somewhere by plane, you cannot get onto the terminal unless you pass through security. If you come to church this Advent, you cannot get to Christmas, not without passing by John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the last prophet before Jesus, and one of the most important stops before Christmas. He is the messenger that God sent before him to prepare the way for Christ. And he gets personal. As it says in the gospel reading today, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face." It's personal. Kind of like the first commandment, which says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Literally, in the text, if you translate it, "before my face." No other gods before my face. It's personal. And behold, he sends his messenger before my face. Our text says John's is the voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his paths straight." This man is so zealous for God's ways that he cannot live in the city. He calls hearers to come out to where he is, out in the wilderness, away from the sinful places where sin spills out into our streets and into our politics and into our bedrooms, into those places where we don't want to talk about. In contrast, major politicians will come into the heart of the city and come to your convention centers and see you where you are. But major prophets like John will call you out to the wilderness to where they are, out where God used to lead the people of Israel in the wilderness by his own presence and his own guiding. And reminds us not just how crooked the politicians are, but reminds us how crooked each and every one of us is. John the Baptist calls us all to straighten up. He says, look at your life. He says it's not right to have your neighbor's wife. That's adultery. He says it's not right to steal. Give it back. He says it's not right to covet. Be content with what you have. Stop borrowing and not repaying. Stop ruining your life with drugs and alcohol. Stop extorting people and taking advantage of them. Stop the injustice. Stop the murders. Stop the violence. Stop the insanity. In preparation for Christmas, you may enjoy songs like "Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Have a Happy Holiday." But from John the Baptist, you hear not "rock on," but "repent, repent." Oddly enough, people were actually going out to see John the Baptist out in the wilderness. And they were being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. The Greek word for confessing here is exomologomenoi, which means they were publicly confessing their sins before the world, before others, saying, "Yes, I need to be washed. I'm a sinner. I need this." They're publicly confessing it. You know, I seriously doubt that any of us would go out to the river today to see a John the Baptist. Maybe we'd go out to see Christmas lights, sure, especially this time of year, but I don't know about John the Baptist. Would we go see a man living in a van down by the river, wearing camel's hair and a leather belt and eating locusts and wild honey and telling people to repent and to be baptized? Well, not unless there were activities for the kids, maybe some barbecue from Buddy's Barbecue or from the Brickyard Barbecue in Powell. Maybe a half-hour fireworks show at the end. That'll bring them out. "Honey, what should we do this weekend?" "Well, I was thinking we'd wrap some presents and maybe go to the Fantasy of Trees." "Oh, yeah? Well, I was thinking that we'd go down to the river and repent." You know, when we do repent today, when we do actually repent, we come here to God's house. We don't go out in the wilderness, do we? But we do get out of our houses. We get out of our workplaces. We get out of every other place that we go during the week, and we come to God's house. He calls us out of the places where we sin and into his courts where he forgives. Here we are, out in the wilderness, so to speak. It's just as he led the people of Israel of old out in the wilderness, where they didn't rely on themselves. They relied on God's presence to direct and to guide them, to forgive them. And today our Jordan isn't a river, it's a baptismal font. We're all gathered around that. Whenever we confess our sins, you notice, here on Sundays, which direction we always face, you can't miss it. It's right there, the baptismal font. We confess right in that same direction, reminding us that that's where God comes to us initially to forgive, to tell us that he does wash away all of our sins. It's a public show. It's a public place where John the Baptist stood over us one time and washed away all of our sins. Praise be to God. It reminds us that we need a gracious God to look past our sins, to make us ready by his doing, not our doing. Because if we had to prepare our own way without a messenger like John the Baptist, without someone who's in your face like John, oh, we'd fail to do it. We'd fail it, and we'd continue to just ho, 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 and deck the halls with balls of holly and fa-la-la-la-la-la-la all the way to hell. And not even realize that we need the most important thing in life, which is forgiveness of our sins. John's baptism was like a cup of cold water, kind of like that icy and glee that splashes them in the face and says, wake up, you weren't noticing, wake up, because someone great is coming. John says, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. John may be in your face, but he's not the mighty one. John can preach the law to others, but he can also recognize his own unworthiness. He can also bear witness about the Messiah, about him who takes away sins. He baptizes not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit, because he is one with the Holy Spirit. Some Bible scholars say that stooping down and untying someone's sandals is one of the lowliest tasks performed by slaves in Jesus' day. So John considered himself less worthy than a slave when he said, I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie Jesus' sandals. So, before we rush this season to the best seat in the house at Christmas, because we think we've got all of our ducks in a row, we got all of our shopping done early. We've hung the lights and the tree. We've got all of our Christmas cards written. We've got the mistletoe hung, check. We've got all of our cookies baked, check. Before we rush out and get to church and sit way up front, you know, the place where all the righteous people sit, way up here, right? Even if we think we're sitting pretty, we should recognize that John the Baptist would be sitting way, way in the back, where he's unworthy to be in God's presence. Unworthy to stoop down and tie Jesus' sandals. We too aren't worthy. We haven't loved enough. We haven't cared enough. We haven't helped people enough. We haven't listened to God's word and listened to others enough. The Lutheran place for us to sit is in the back. But thank God that the message of the one to come, the mighty one, is that those who are last shall be first. Repentance isn't just to beat ourselves down, to beat ourselves up because God likes it when we loathe and self-pity. We repent because it's true. We are sinners. And it's time to recognize and realize once again why we need Christmas. God didn't send a Savior into the world to save the righteous. God sent a Savior to save sinners. Advent without repentance downgrades. It demeans, it lessens the meaning of Christmas. And if we downgrade, we demean, we lessen Christmas, then there's no real reason for joy to the world. Joy, not because of snow days and Santa Claus and serendipitous songs, but because of our God, our Savior, who came down from heaven to to save us. A second candle was lit today, one bright candle for hope, one bright candle for peace. Though we may not associate the preaching of John the Baptist with peace, his message is preparing us to receive the peace of Christmas. Advent, kind of like spring, comes in with a lion, and it goes out like a lamb. Mary's little lamb, if you will, and the shepherds guarding their flocks by night. John can preach the law, but his law preaching doesn't bring peace. Only the Lamb, born on Christmas, the good news of our incarnate God, the God who comes to be with us graciously, brings everlasting peace through the forgiveness of our sins, by his Holy Spirit, which gives us faith, brings us to church, reminds us of his gifts and all of his doings, gives us communion, everything God does for us to remind us that we are his children. Come. So, don't pass go this Advent. Don't collect peace until you see the need for peace. Don't rush past John the Baptist. John says, repent. One mightier than I am coming, and be baptized. Repent and prepare the way for Jesus. What? You're not worthy to stoop down and untie his shoes? Don't worry. As Peter learned later, Jesus will stoop down and wash your feet. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds prepared and ready to receive Christ Jesus. Amen.